Prambanan. There's a thing that happens when you visit Prambanan. You arrive expecting Indonesia's other temple, the Hindu one, just down the road from Borobudur, and within 10 minutes you realize you got the framing entirely wrong. Prambanan isn't Borobudur's smaller sibling. It's the same age, the same plane, almost the same dynasty. And it's making a completely different argument about what a temple is for. I'll give you about 5 minutes of background. The Prambanan story is one of the great architectural tit-for-tats in human history, and most travel guides skip the punchline. So, two dynasties shared central Java in the 9th century. The Sailendra, Buddhist, wealthy, pretty famous for building a 50,000-ton stone mountain a few kilometers west, called Borobudur. And the Sanjaya, Hindu, also wealthy, also based in central Java. The two dynasties were rivals, sometimes friends, frequently in-laws, always, always competitive. Around the year 850, give or take, a Sanjaya king named Rakai Pikatan married a Sailendra princess, and the two of them, post-wedding, decided to build a Hindu temple complex that would, shall we say, demonstrate what their dynasty could do. That's Prambanan. Three towering shrines, the tallest one 47 meters high. That's a 15-story building made of carved volcanic stone, dedicated to the Hindu trinity. Shiva in the middle, Vishnu to the north, Brahma to the south. Around them, three smaller shrines for their divine vehicles. Around those, 224 further shrines in concentric rows. The original complex had 240 stone temples on a single plane. It was, at completion, the largest Hindu temple complex in Southeast Asia. Now, here's where the story gets interesting. Within 150 years, both Borobudur and Prambanan were abandoned. Two volcanic eruptions, a shift of political power eastward, and central Java emptied out. Just like Borobudur, Prambanan was swallowed by the jungle. Unlike Borobudur, it was never quite lost. Local farmers always knew there were stones in there. But nobody official paid attention until the 1730s, when a Dutch surveyor stumbled into it and went, "Wait, there's how many of these?" The first proper restoration didn't begin until 1918, and then a small detail you don't read in the brochures. In 1953, the main Shiva temple was finally rebuilt. They had to use new stone for parts where the originals were missing, but they used a Dutch rule from the period. If more than half the original stones for any one temple were missing, the temple was not rebuilt at all. It was left as a pile of stones beside its restored neighbours. So when you walk through Prambanan today, the eight large central temples are restored, magnificently. The 216 smaller shrines around them, the Pavara shrines, are mostly piles of carved volcanic blocks lying in their original grids on the ground. It looks like a building site abandoned mid-project, which, to be fair, it kind of is. The thing the photos don't capture, the scale. The central plaza is 200 meters across. The temples climb above you like rockets. Every flat surface has carvings. And these aren't decorative carvings, they're narrative. The middle level of each temple wraps with reliefs telling, in order, the entire Ramayana, the great Hindu epic of Prince Rama, his wife Sita, and her abduction by the demon king Ravana. You can walk the panels and read the story like a graphic novel etched in stone. Two stories that come up most often. One, there's a folk legend about Prince Bandung Bondowoso who fell in love with Princess Roro Jonggrang, who didn't return the feeling. She set him an impossible task, build 1,000 temples in one night. He almost did it, got to 999 using supernatural help. And to stop him, she lit a fire and set the cocks crowing to make him think dawn was breaking. The 1,000th temple was never built. The princess, depending on which storyteller you ask, either ran away or was turned to stone by the prince, and is now, supposedly, the statue of Durga inside the main Shiva temple. locals still come to leave offerings. 2. The 2006 Yogyakarta earthquake, magnitude 6.3. Significant damage to several Prambanan temples, particularly the Brahma and Vishnu shrines. Restoration took 6 years. UNESCO almost listed Prambanan as endangered. They still rebuild stone by stone today. If you look at the upper terraces, there's a rope cordon, and you'll see workers in high-vis quietly placing pieces back. Conservation here isn't past tense, it's ongoing. One last thing. If you're here for sunset, the best photograph isn't the standard postcard angle from the front. Walk to the far west of the plaza, turn around, and let the lowering sun light the eastern faces. The carvings glow. You'll see why people kept coming back to this.